This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, welcome to another episode. I hope everyone's having a great weekend.
Yay!
How are you going, Bella?
I'm pretty good. Just keeping on going.
Keeping on. Preparing for the winter.
Oh, I know. I hate the winter.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Dunedin's like half the year is winter, pretty much.
Yeah. But then I'm always like, I always kind of forget how bad the winter is. And then when it starts, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Gotta.
This old thing.
Yeah. Back here again.
We're doing a bit of a random show this week, aren't we? So we're sort of like loosely like, what are you reading?
Yeah.
So we're just going to talk about what we're reading at the moment, which for me has kind of been like all over the place, and a lot of poetry. But yeah, before I forget, I want to do a shout out. So I've got two friends that listen to the show. So kia ora, Robin and Danica, who listen to this all the way in Dorset in the UK.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I think they even went back to the beginning and listened to us when we were still learning the ropes.
Real fans.
Yeah, real hardcore fans.
Real Books Uncovered heads.
Yeah, we should get t-shirts printed.
With our faces on them.
shall I start?
Yeah, you can start off.
I kind of have three. So this one is the new Ellen Hollinghurst book, which I've just started to read. I think it came out last month, maybe.
I think it's been out
longer?
Since last year.
Oh, my God. Okay. I didn't realise. I'm sorry. So it's called Our Evenings, and actually I was recommended it by Bella, because you said that all your family, your family members had read it. And
yeah, it was at Christmas. Just around Christmas at my partner's family Christmas thing, and a lot of them read it and really enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting, so across a lot of different ages and life experiences.
I guess because it's like spanning a couple of decades, starting from the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all told through the perspective of a gay actor called Dan Nguyen. And the novel begins with hearing the news that his benefactor, Mark Hadlow, has died, who is this famous person, which I assume he's an actor as well, perhaps, or just like a patron of the arts, perhaps.
Mm.
So our protagonist, Dave, goes to visit Mark's elderly widow, Cara, who's in her late 90s, and the story sort of starts to unfold there. So it's like it starts with the childhood of Dave as a young boy, discovering the possibilities of music and drama and finding his own powers, and shaken by encounters with prejudice and aggression because he's mixed race. I think his dad is from Burma, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
But he grows up with his mother. And, yeah, it's like a coming of age in the beginning. And, yeah, obviously I haven't read the whole thing, but I did want to talk about Ellen Hollinghurst. So he's Sir Ellen Hollinghurst. And so he's, I don't know, I guess a lot of people will be familiar with him. I was familiar with him from his book, The Line of Beauty, which won the Booker Prize in 2004. And he's been credited with having helped gay-themed fiction to break into the literary mainstream through his seven novels since 1988. So, yeah, that's a pretty awesome accomplishment. I've basically, like, copy-pasted a couple of things about it since I haven't finished reading it. So it forms a deep pattern of connection with its predecessors while being an entirely distinct and brimming whole. If it's a long solo, It is a various unpopulated one, happily echoing with voices. It stays clear of pastiche. Its chapters feel inhabitable, places to which you might return for sustenance on little mental occasions, as yet unknown. Hollinghurst is precise about sentiment in ways that put loosely sentimentality to shame. And he is above all an appreciator, taking pleasure in the inexhaustible, particularly of what people do and make and see. The capacity for appreciation acquires new emotional and political meaning here, and his finest novel yet from one of the great writers of our time. And that's a quote from The Guardian, actually. So, yeah, it is really approachable. Like, I'm
enjoying it so far.
Putting on my seatbelt for the story. Yeah.
That's good. I will have to come and get it out from the Athenaeum.
Yeah.
Because I haven't actually read it yet, even though I recommended it to you.
Yes.
Because it's been raved about by so many people.
Well, I think that's quite a good recommendation when it's been through the hands of different types of people as well. It's not
definitely
just like trying to get at one genre of reader.
And lots of people that don't really read a lot as well, a few of them.
Oh, okay.
Still really enjoyed it. So.
Oh, that's interesting to know.
Yeah.
I think Line of Beauty was turned into a film, or am I making that up?
It sounds like something that is true. I haven't read any of his novels yet, but I think I might start with this and then.
Yeah, A Line of Beauty, we had to read that at uni.
Mm. Did you like it?
I think it was one of those situations where there were so many things to read that I made the option to skim the beginning and then I didn't come back to it. But I still have a setting. Yeah, exactly. When you're like, oh God. But I still have I can still place it in my head I have a little imaginary world. I think it is in like Notting Hill. I can see the house and there's a fence and a park.
That's quite cool.
Yeah.
So it stayed with you in some sense.
Exactly. I've just realised that I've put the wrong clock on, so our show doesn't actually go for a minute. That's okay. Anyway, what did you bring in today?
I'm reading, at the moment, a departure for me. I've been reading a kids' series called the Nevermore series, which is by an Australian author called Jessica Townsend. It's one that's kind of been on my radar for a while. My old co-worker at the Port Chalmers Library, Lucinda, really liked it, so she'd always recommend it to kids that came in. But I was just encouraged to pick it up after the fourth book in the series, which is projected to be a 9-book series, just came out. And it was like, it was very exciting at my work because I think it was about 2 years overdue from when it was meant to be released.
Oh,
so
quite a build
up. Lot of people coming in being like, I've been waiting for so long. one of my good friends, Jordan, was like, I think you should read it, you'll like it. And I'd been wanting something nice to read.
Jordan, who came on our show.
Jordan Doherty, who came on our show, yeah, shout out. So I was a bit nervous because I haven't actually read a children's book in a long time, or even, I read a couple of young adults, but they didn't really hit last year. So I was a bit nervous that I wasn't going to be able to engage with it at all. But happy to say this series is one that definitely translates to all readers, I think. Mm. So it follows Morrigan Crow, who was born on the wrong day, which leads to her being considered a cursed child who is blamed for everything that goes wrong in her hometown and is kept at arm's length from everyone, even her family. And if that wasn't terrible enough, cursed children are also doomed to die at midnight on their 11th birthday. So it's all looking pretty bad for Morrigan. But then before the clock can strike midnight on Eventide, she gets swept away into a magical land called Nevermore by an equally magical man called Jupiter North. And there she discovers that she has to compete in a series of trials for a place in the prestigious Wondrous Society, pitted against hundreds of children with exceptional talents. But the issue for most of the book is that she doesn't know what her talent is. So that's kind of...
It's kind of giving me, I think, just because I watched the Hunger Game vibes. You know, it's like children, but it's children. Exceeding less
It is like,
horrendous.
It's very like all the classic tropes of, you know, gets a chosen one that gets taken to a magical land and has to compete for something. But it's had a lot of comparisons to Harry Potter. So I was kind of intrigued in a way because when I first read Harry Potter, like I loved it. Still special to me, despite the fact that...
Because you would have been the perfect age for it.
Yeah, like I was growing up when it was coming out. And it's just that feeling of, like, magic and wonder that you get when you read it, which this series has also given me. So that was nice to have a new fantasy book kids series that isn't written by a hateful bigot.
Amen.
I can't read Harry Potter anymore, sadly.
No,
because
yeah,
I hate her so much.
Yeah, she's quite diabolical.
Yeah. So this is a great alternative. It's a really beautiful, whimsical adventure into a magical world. And I think it's quite mature. I'm currently reading the fourth book, the one that's just come out. I think it deals with quite heavy themes in really sensitive ways. And there's really poignant moments of caring for others and standing up for what's right in the face of prejudice and corruption. Yeah, I think she's a really excellent writer and has crafted a really compelling, complex story. And yeah, really great world building. I love the magic system. And I feel like all the characters, yeah, the characters are amazing. Like, Morrigan's a really good main character, but all the side characters as well are really well developed. And it's just a nice little book. I highly recommend it if you want something nice to read, although it is quite scary. I find children's books often have the most scary scenes
than
anything I've read. It's like, yeah.
Just creating that tension. I love that, like, thing, because, yeah, when you're a kid, you do feel special, right? Like, that anything could happen, like special magical stuff.
Yeah.
More often than not, hopefully. You know? And I love that, like, yeah, that must be such a trope with sort of young adult and children writing.
I think that is like the chosen one.
You've been seen.
And rescued from a place where you're often like not loved by anyone.
Yeah.
Or mistreated. Yeah. This has kind of made me want to read more like kids series. Like, because I haven't read a lot of the classics. Like, I haven't read Philip Pullman's Northern Lights series.
No, neither have I.
And a bunch of others. So now I'm like, maybe that's my thing this year.
Cool.
So yeah, highly recommend. It's a really good series.
Remind us of the name.
It's the Nevermore series. By Jessica Townsend.
I might have to see if my niece is reading it.
Yeah.
Who's 14.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah. She seems to, go through books really fast.
Yeah, I zoomed through these there in, like, the last week or so.
Yeah.
But they are quite, they're fat little books, like, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I never, like, quite got reading young adult fiction as an adult, like, I've never read Harry Potter. I was like too old. Well, you know, like 18 or whatever, so it was definitely not something I wanted to
engage.
You're
not gonna pick that up when
exactly. Too busy smoking cigarettes. Terrible.
What else have you been reading?
I've been reading lots of poetry, and this one is actually from my own collection, and it's Sharon Olds. I've revisited her, and I had to remind myself about her. I think her recent book is called Stag Sleep. She's a British, I think she's a British poet. No, she's not. Sorry, American. So this book is called Satan Says, and it was first published in 1980, and it's her first collection. So she was born in 1942, and she's won loads and loads of awards for her writing, most notably the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 2013. And she also teaches creative writing at the New York University and was the previous director of the creative writing program at NYU. Yeah, I was looking up about her, and apparently when she first sent her poetry to a literary magazine, she received a reply saying, "This is a literary magazine. If you wish to write about this sort of subject, may we suggest the Ladies' Home Journal? The true subjects of poetry are male subjects, not your children." Which is, yeah, outrageous. I wonder what year that was. But yeah, this collection is in four sections, titled Daughter, Woman, Mother, Journey. Yeah, and it's what you might expect from the title of this. Satan Says, the poems are quite dark and seductive and often risky, particularly for the era in which they're written, and because they feel really contemporary as well, reading them. And the form as well is quite contemporary. So Night Terrors is one of the poems. I'll go through each section. So yeah, from The Daughter, which is the start of the collection, the poetic voice ponders the presence of a man outside her house. And this is a quote, "Some man so angry, so clever, there is no chance for survival." So just like there's kind of like a violence lurking underneath quite a lot of them. There's like a tone of anxiety to the work. But however, despite these intense themes, there's also an element of control and empowerment. And then you go on to like Woman, and there's, I think, probably one of the more famous poems from the collection. It's called The Sisters of Sexual Treasure. And it's about being promiscuous and exploring men's bodies. It's quite like filthy, so I read it out. Well, kind of. I don't know. This is getting aired at like midday on a Saturday. And yeah, sort of a casual tone and misbehaving not only in the poem's form but in the theme itself. So the last line in that poem is, "If mother said it wasn't there, it was," which is quite, when I read that the other night, I was like, wow, this is, yeah, she's really good. And then it goes on to the mother section. That's what you'd expect, poems about mothers, like that look of attention on the face of a young mother, like an animal. And then it goes on to Journey, and it's her actually being a mother as well. And a line from that is, "It is as if my father could speak, his huge body silent and massive, and under the cold white skin, solid shit, the loathing." So, yeah, she's real, very worth checking out, Sharon Olds. And, I was quite happy to pick this book up again and, yeah, reestablish my joy for Sharon.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I really like that last line, very visceral.
Yeah. I mean, all the poems. I mean, I kind of looked through being like, could I read some? And then I thought, I'd have to sort of edit or not say it at all, yeah. I think.
That's a good teaser. Like,
yeah.
If you want more, read the book.
Read more. Read more Sharon Olds. what one did you, your second one?
The other book, this is a rapid departure from my previous one I talked about. This is actually why I had to pick up like a nice children's book. It's because this book was quite harrowing.
Okay.
It's called Small Boat by Vincent Delacroix, and it was translated by Helen Stevenson. So I picked this up because it was one of the books shortlisted for the International Booker Prize, which was just won recently by Banu Mushtaq for Heartlamp, which is,
okay.
I haven't read.
No, neither. I don't know if I've read any of the international.
This
is Kairos on it?
That won it last year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is the only one I've read so far from the collection, from the shortlisted books, but they all look quite good, so I might slowly make my way through. So this book is following, there's the police detectives are considering whether they should charge a French coast guard with criminal intent after she uttered several lies and disparaging words to a young migrant who called several times for help from a sinking boat. In the end, she failed to rescue the group of 29 migrants, of which two survived and 27 drowned while attempting to cross the English Channel between France and Britain in a small dinghy. This book may sound familiar. This book is based on a real event that happened in 2021 that I do remember when that happened. It was a big scandal. So this book is mostly from the perspective of this operator. There's a few perspectives from the migrants on the boat, but yeah, it's mostly you're living in the head of this woman, the operator, who she refuses to take any responsibility, or at least no more responsibility than anyone else involved. So Delacroix tells the story mostly through her interior monologue as she's interrogated by a policewoman, and they bring up the recordings of the calls, and this is referred to back a lot in the book. This is actually what this woman said in real life, where she was heard to say things like, "You won't be saved." And this line, which is the most awful, where she says, "It wasn't me who told you to leave."
Gosh. Awful.
Yeah. So it's quite intense being stuck in this unreliable narrator who she really seems allergic to accountability and is really a master at deflecting. It really makes you squirm sort of reading from her perspective. With my moral compass, it's really easy to judge her. I think most people reading it would, you are judging her. But I really liked how access to her worldview provides really good insight onto the world at large. Yeah, and she keeps sort of morphing and reshaping from a monster to misunderstood to monster again all throughout the book. So it's a really morally complex deep dive. The author is a philosopher, which you can really see in the text.
Okay.
Lots of contemplation on humanity. And yeah, there's a line she says from it, she says, "Empathy, I said to the police inspector, is an idiotic luxury indulged in by people who do nothing and who are moved by the spectacle of suffering." Which this quote really lingered with me, and it unnerved me and made me mad as I was like unpacking it, which I think all good literature should do. So
yeah,
yeah. I think in the end, the book really holds a mirror up to you as the reader, where it's like, if she's a monster, then aren't we too? There's a really good line. I'll just do a wee quote from it, where she says, "You are all there. If I turned around, I would see you all sunk into your sofas on the sand, in your deck chairs, in your offices, watching while I keep my vigil like an idiot. And afterwards, once the drama is over, lashing out, saying, 'It's a scandal, it's revolting.' And yet that night I saw not one of them jump in the water to help, no one offering to reinflate the rubber dinghy with his own feeble lungs. But when it comes to protesting and calling other people monsters, then everyone has enough breath."
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's nothing about this book that was easy. It was pretty horrific from the first word to the last, but I thought it was really excellent, and I think it's a really important book.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that it didn't win the International Booker. I say that as someone who hasn't read any of the other ones, but I think it's a really important book, especially in these times when there are so many horrific things happening where, yeah.
Yeah, and so many
sort of watching and
displaced people and, yeah, being threatened to,
and, yeah, just
deportation, or
how desensitized as a society we've all become to people who, reducing them to numbers, where they're actually their own individual people suffering unimaginable horrors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I recommend this book. It's really good, but a hard read. So, yeah.
But a really but important
I think
story.
Should read it, yeah.
Important story to be told, and the wonderful gift that authors have of being able to tell these stories.
Yeah, definitely.
And to have that authority in it to actually, be well done as well.
Yeah, which I think this definitely pulls it off in a way. I think especially that perspective of the woman who
That's a really interesting hat to wear.
Living inside her head, and then you're judging her so heavily, and it's like, just really makes you think you're on what you're doing in your life, and how you engage with these stories as well.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. So that was Small Boat by Vincent Delacroix. You had another book you'd read?
Yeah, kind of. So I'm unsure of how much time we've got. I think we don't have much time left. It's 24 past. Yeah, we've probably only got a couple of minutes, but we were just having a little scathing review of John Green.
A scathing review of a book that neither of us have read.
Yeah, totally. Maybe just more on who he is, or I don't know. But yeah, there's a new book out called Everything is Tuberculosis by John Green. You might remember him from such books as The Anthropocene Reviewed, which I've read, and I haven't read the Everything is Tuberculosis, but my husband did, and he was like, meh. who also had read The Anthropocene. But yeah, so this one is John Green's second nonfiction novel, book. And yeah, I was sort of wondering about him, and then it's like, oh, he's a YouTuber. So he must have a really good publicist and is good at promoting himself, because the Anthropocene one, and I feel like it's just the hot words,
his YouTube is he has a couple of channels. There's one, it's usually science, and he has one where they sort of unpack history for school kids.
Oh, okay.
Which I've watched a few of them when I was in high school, because it's explaining this war in 20 minutes.
I see. The Fallout Star? No, The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, that's one of his. He is also known for as being, he's a massively successful young adult author. So The Fault in Our Stars, oh God, I'm so obsessed with all of them. What are they called? I remember when I was a teenager, I loved his books.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. That's kind of, I think, why he's sort of so prominent on the shelves, right? He's already got like a huge following.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're quite like bite-sized little, you can kind of dip in and out of these stories. I think the Anthropocene Reviewed was a podcast at first, and then it developed into a book. But yeah, and apparently he's a prominent advocate for global health causes.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to read his nonfiction because I've only read his teen books.
Yeah. Well, come on down to the Athenaeum Library and read them, which is brings you this lovely radio show. And I just wanted to say that recently we've just been given a really generous donation of Ruth Dulles books, gifted to us from the Ruth Dulles Estates Literary Executor. And that all came about because of lovely Karen, who is the librarian at the Naseby Athenaeum, which is – the Naseby Athenaeum is really awesome. If you ever drive through there, you should definitely check it out. It's almost as old as the Dunedin Athenaeum by a couple of years, so – yeah, late 18-somethings. So, yeah, beautiful collection of poetry books of Ruth Dulles. We're really happy
That's
to have
really
them.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, they're so amazing. Like, first editions and, yeah, just beautiful objects as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Oh, that's special.
But, yeah, cool. Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend and see you next time. Ka kite.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.